The 20th Psalm to the chief musician, a Psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Selah. What does Selah mean? Exactly. All you musicians, it means to pause. May the Lord answer you, verse 1, in the day of trouble. You know, it could sound as if David's life was nothing but trouble. And if I thought that was the case, that would be troubling. But it wasn't. What was constant about King David's life, what was constant about King David's reign, was warfare. And his entire reign was spent at war. And so this psalm is a song. And it was a song written in preparation for battle. And the first part of the psalm, through the first five verses, were written for the children of Israel to sing to King David as he prepared for battle. The day of trouble is any day David or we confront the enemy. Church, do you know that that's our call? To confront the enemy. On April the 12th, when we meet in the street and we sing worship songs and we walk and pray and stand upright for the dignity of life, do you know we are confronting the enemy? It'll be done as lambs and not as goats. We won't cause destruction. We won't be lighting any buildings on fire as we go, looting television sets from drugstore windows. Nothing like that. We will confront the enemy. Perhaps we should sing this song before we start. But the man after God's own heart has learned that no soldier of the Lord is properly equipped for battle until first fully clothed in the armor of prayer. Now, I am obviously not in David's league, nor would I want to be. Who in the world would want that job? Certainly not I. But I covet prayers. I have to tell you that it's come to my attention that there are two separate and individual group of men in our church that are meeting weekly just to pray for me. Church, I don't think anything's ever moved me as much. I was in my office yesterday morning just going over my notes and I was thinking about these groups of guys that are meeting to pray. And I was getting teary-eyed, which is not good when you're Irish. And the phone rang, and I answered it, and it was one of those guys. He had no idea that I would be at the office. He just called to tell me he loves me, and he's praying for me and supporting me. I beg you, church, please make it a part of your daily routine to pray not just for me, for our entire staff, as we work for your souls, as we work to win your children to Christ, as we work to lead you to the throne of God in worship, as we work, poor Mary Kay, just to keep all of us organized. Pray for Mary Kay. Not one thorn in her flesh, but three. Named Bob, David, and Tim. Pray for your church staff, please. I beg of you. As our own country prepares for war, don't you know, as we're here this morning, sitting here worshiping the Lord, do you know the news report I heard? 230,000 deployments of American men and women to the Middle East. That's staggering. A staggering amount of people Let's pray for them. As we prepare for this war, let's bring the equivalent of our king, which would be President Bush. Let's bring him before the Lord often. If ever a man needed wisdom, it's President Bush right now. Psalm 122, verse 6 says, "Let us pray for the peace of Jerusalem." Church, you do know that this battle going on right now is not about America. It's not about France. It's not about Germany. It's about Jerusalem. That's what this is about. It's about God's enemies coming against God's people. And that's what this war is truly about. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The last part of verse 1 says, "May the name of the God of Jacob defend you." Why recall Jacob in this prayer? I think it was probably because King David could relate to Jacob. Jacob was a man who, as you look at the length of his life, you see time and time again him being pursued by his enemies, him betraying people, him being betrayed, him being tricked, pursued again. And yet, when he came to God, God answered his prayer. And God relieved him. God defended him. God brought him out. And so David recalls, David's meditating, as it were, on the life of Jacob. And he says, "The God of Jacob, may he be my help. May God defend you." That word defend means to lift you up. Not necessarily completely away from the battle. And if you've been told, Christian, that after becoming a Christian, there is no more battle, we apologize to you. You received bad information. It should have sounded more like this. When you become a Christian, you enter the battle. Amen? And God lifts us up, as it were, in the midst of the battle, to protect us, to not completely take us away every single time. That He defends us. He lifts us to safety. Verse number 2, "May He send you help from the sanctuary." Remember last Sunday we talked about the sanctuary and we did a little hand-raising exercise. Everybody still okay from that? David raised his hands toward the sanctuary. And so now he's saying, May He send you help from the sanctuary. Why? Church, what was in the sanctuary? What was in there? The Ark of the Covenant. And what did the Ark of the Covenant represent? The glory of God. The strength of God. Verse number 2 goes on and says, "And strengthen you out of Zion." You know, one of the reasons that David was called a man after God's own heart was because in season and out of season, when the chips were up and when the chips were down, when David was on the throne and when David was being chased by his own throne, he led people to Zion, to God. Zion remained his capital city. In his heart, even in the midst of temptation, David led people to God. Verse number 3, "May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah." Before a king would go to war, the king would offer a burnt sacrifice to the Lord. An example of this is in 2 Samuel chapter 6. David's trying to move the ark back into Jerusalem. And you remember just a few months ago, Pastor David taught us 2 Samuel. The first attempt didn't go well, did it? They didn't remember the word of the Lord. And so they attempted to move the ark incorrectly. And they had to stop moving it. Do you know why? Because everybody trying to move it was dead. And so David lamented and repented and went back and probably had a Bible study. Got it all figured out. And then in the 13th verse, he comes back and they pick up the ark the correct way. And they move 6 paces. And they selah'd. They paused. And David sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep, the Bible says. That's our favorite kind of sheep here at Calvary Chapel. We love the fatted sheep. spiritually speaking only, of course. You know, 1,000 years after this psalm's written, 1,000 years later, Jesus Christ becomes the sacrificial lamb. The Lamb of God, the Bible says, it takes away the sins of the world. And beloved, Jesus went to the cross and took on all of your sin, all of my sin. He became the burnt sacrifice. And now, Jesus pauses for you. The price is paid. The sacrifice is done. Selah. Jesus is waiting. He's pausing. The offer still stands. It's paid for. Your name's on the roll if you'll but show up. And in greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Verse number 4. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all of your purpose. And so it's now assumed by the children of Israel that the king has heard from God. And so they're saying, with your heart being one with God's, may he grant you his will. As the king's heart became one with God's. That's an amazing process. That's an amazing thing to happen. And so here's King David asking the children of Israel to ask God to speak to his heart. And I would ask you the same thing, church. I want you to know that I believe God's given me a vision for Calvary Chapel of Simi Valley for the rest of 2003. I can't wait to share it with you. But I want you to pray. God, give our staff the vision. When I remember the day when I met with Pastor David Guzik over here, right over here at Pickup Sticks for Chinese food. And I remember we sat down and we talked about how badly we golf and, you know, just chit-chatted. And then I remember he got quiet and he said, I'm going to burden you with something today. And he started sharing the vision of Calvary Chapel Bible College with me. And that didn't burden me. This part burdened me for a short time. But you know what? God gave him that vision. And I remember that day we prayed, Lord, make the vision clear. And he did. And Lord, for me, make the vision clear. And I believe that he has. When we wait on the Lord, when we delight ourselves in him, literally, church, when we become pliable, the word delight in him means to become pliable. When God can take your heart and remold it, what he's doing, he's forming your desires. I remember the day that God took my heart here at Calvary Chapel, Simi Valley, and he started molding it, and he started changing it. And I can remember going home and telling Lynette about 2 years ago on a Sunday afternoon, I think I want to start working with the children's ministry. And she gave me that look, as if to say, are you crazy? But you know what? God did that. And I will never, never forget the blessed times leading children's worship upstairs for the last couple of years. It was wonderful. Your children bless my socks off, church. Truly. Such worshipers up there. And do you know, if you will allow God, he will change your heart. And he'll make it the exact shape of what his will is. Do you understand how wonderful that is? What happens then is that what you want is what he wants. It's God's will. What you pray will be his will. And when you pray God's will, for what glorifies God. Do you know what the sound of his answered prayer sounds like, church? It sounds like this. Yes. Amen. Yes. Isn't that what we want to hear when we pray? Yes. And when you pray what is God's will, He says, yes. How do I do that? How do I do that? By becoming pliable in His hand. Letting God change your heart. Verse number 5. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Church, this is blessed assurance. This is not the children of Israel saying, Lord, now if you win this battle, we will rejoice. Not at all. Please don't read it like that. The rejoicing started before the army even left the camp. Once the children of Israel knew that God had accepted the burnt sacrifice, they knew it was in the can. It was a done deal. Blessed assurance. If we follow the vision of God, if we follow the provision of God, it will come to pass. Amen and amen. So shall it be. And so the rejoicing started before the battle. David's salvation was in victory in the battle. Our salvation is won. Our eternal salvation is won. It's bought. It's paid for. And for some of us, we have yet to raise the banner over the victory. You see, the practice was this. The army would go into the land, the foreign land, and they would conquer it. They would win it back, as it were. And as soon as the conquering was done, when the battle was over, they would raise the banner of the Lord over the land. And for some of us, the victory's been won. The battle's over. We just haven't claimed what's ours in the Lord. Beloved, the battle for salvation is won if it continues to rage in your heart. If it continues to rage in your life, it's simply a matter of accepting the sacrificial Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And for some of us, you know where we are? Selah. Selah. And I would just ask you, why are you pausing? A musical pause was not forever. For a beat or two. Pause and then sing on. Don't wait for another day. When I'm done here this morning, there are going to be people up here that would love to pray with you. They're not other than what you are. They're regular, working people. Getting through the Christian life one day at a time, but they know the Lord. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now, and let me tell you what it sounds like. If you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, boy, I should really go up there and pray. Can I just tell you something? You're hearing the voice of the Lord. Perhaps you say, I thought it would sound like thunder. Oh, no. The Bible calls it a still, small voice. And so if you're hearing in your heart, I should go up there and pray. May I just assure you of something? That's not the devil. Why? Why would he want you to come up here and pray? If you're hearing that in your heart this morning, beloved, that's the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. How do I do that? The last part of verse 5 answers the question. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. You have but to ask Him, and He will fulfill that petition. You want to know the Lord this morning? Come up and ask Him. He will reveal Himself to you. Verse number 6. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. In other words, what I had once hoped for, I now realize. What is that? That the Lord provides where He guides. That where the Lord gives vision, He provides provision. I could think of a dozen of these, but you get the idea. Where God takes you, He will open the door. Romans 8:28 says, And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. He provides. He answers with the power of His right hand. What does that mean? The right hand in Scripture, when you see that, we sang about it earlier, it's the strong hand. The right hand. Now, if you're a lefty here this morning, okay, we would allow you to switch. All right? But what does the soldier have in his right hand? A sword. Of course, a sword. David was a man of war. He was accustomed to the feel of a sword in his hand. Now, we don't deal much with swords anymore unless you're taking a fencing class at Moore Park College. If you went walking down L.A. Avenue this afternoon with a sword in your hand, you would quickly become familiar with the Ventura County Police, Sheriff's officers. If this was to be written in our day, we might say that he shoots with both barrels. The power of the hand of the Lord. Verse number 7 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. David's enemies to the north, the Syrians, were infamous, known for their chariots. In fact, in one battle, David recovered 1,000 chariots from the enemy. Children of Israel weren't known for chariots, but they were afraid of them. The chariots of the day were killing machines. And it was said in the day that these chariots would mow men like grass. The guys, apparently the Saturday afternoon tradition of mowing the lawn was alive and well at the writing of the Scriptures here. But these chariots would go through the army and mow them down like grass. The children of Israel weren't known for their equestrian skills either. They were footmen. They fought their battles on foot. They fought their battles with the sword in their hand. And though they feared the chariots, they feared going into battle without the blessing of God far more. Calvary Chapel, may it be said of us, that church is fearless, save for the fear of not following the Lord. May that be our banner, that we follow the Lord into battle. Verse number 8, they, the ones trusting in themselves, have bowed down. In other words, they've been made to bow down, or in other words, to surrender. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. The enemies of God will be made to bow the knee. And they will fall in defeat, but we are standing upright. Literally, the word stand upright here means to encompass in testimony. After a sporting event, if you're on the winning side, you don't go back to the bench and sit down with your face in your hands, do you? No, it's victory. We're number one. Until next Sunday afternoon. Right? It's the standing upright, the encompassing the battle in testimony that we have won. Christians, together, let us stand upright in Simi Valley to testify of God's sustaining power, of God's unfailing love. Let that be our testimony. Verse number 9 says, save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Charles Spurgeon wrote of this verse, how different the end of those whose trust are different. Our trust aren't in chariots. Our trust isn't in might. Our trust isn't in power. But by God's Spirit, says the Lord. That's our power. The English liturgy for this verse is, O Lord, save the King and hear us when we call upon Thee. So church, I want to end with a question. Who's your King? Who's your King? Whose counsel you follow, He it is who is your King. God's given us a manual for victory. In black and white, He's given it to us. In case you've forgotten, it sounds like this. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Would you bow your heads and let's pray. Lord, we call on your name. We call to you, Lord God, to hear our cry. Lord, our hearts are broken mostly for those who are here this morning who have yet to give their hearts to you. And so we pause to pray for them. We pause, Lord Jesus, to pray that you would open the eyes of their heart to see your love, to see your extended hand. Help them, O God, to realize that the offer still stands. Lord, for discouraged Christians, we pray that your Holy Spirit would lift them up, would build them up and defend them. And Lord, for those of our church family who are sick and waiting for the answer from you, we pray that it would come soon, and that you would heal them, Lord God. Lord, we dedicate our lives to you. We praise you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.